This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday of the Final Four. We're going to be talking with Kevin Kugler of Westwood One, the voice of the Final Four, and we'll see what he's got going on. And he was in Houston this weekend where Duke came out of. He was in Omaha last weekend where Wisconsin has advanced on. Of course, covering the Big Ten, he's seen Michigan State. He knows Kentucky. So we'll get his thoughts. Also, towards the end of the program, Tasha Weiss is going to join us in studio. Kearney's Class Act is coming up, and we'll get a little heads up on that. Plus, bigger than probably the Final Four for us here in Nebraska is that Nebraska sweeps Texas in baseball. And very impressive yesterday. Nebraska really dominated yesterday. The first two games came down to really low scoring. It was a great marathon on Saturday. If you play 15 innings and you win it, it's awesome. If you lose it, maybe that just yanked a little bit of the lifeblood out of Texas yesterday.
Well, it sounded like, it sounded like in both games, the pitching just completely dominated. Somebody said there was, I don't know, Doug, somebody said maybe Nebraska won the game in the bottom of the ninth or the bottom of the eighth or the bottom of the tenth. There was a close play at the plate, and it didn't go Nebraska's way, so they came back and ended up winning the game. But, you know, Texas just ran out of pitching, and Nebraska seemed to have their little more pitching depth, you know, to get through a three-game series, a four-game series, or what you need to have.
So outstanding for the Huskers. They've won 14 out of the 15 here in their homestand. Then Creighton comes in, and Coach Erstad trying to keep them grounded. You know, he says, I told these guys before the series, it doesn't matter if we lose them all or win them all. We still, this is to make us better and on, but it definitely helps if Nebraska can do what they want to do. If they finish second in the Big Ten, I'm going to say it right now, if they finish second in the Big Ten, they're hosting a regional.
Yeah, well, you went 14 out of 15 in the crowds that Nebraska gets. Yeah, that was huge because we talked about this, Doug. We were going on the road and just going 500, and 500 wasn't going to cut it. So you win 14 out of 15 at home. You get a little room now, you know, to lose a game or two down the stretch that you think, we needed that one. Nah, you didn't need it too bad because you won 14 in a row. You're still going to get to host something.
So we'll talk. I don't know how much more can you talk about that. I'm surprised. First of all, when I saw that Texas, when we talked to Augie Garrido last week, and I saw they were 17-8 and still ranked as high as 10th, they were anywhere from 10th to about 16th. I looked at their schedule, and it wasn't like they lost to the top five teams in the country. I was a little surprised. This was playing off last year. They should be a top 15 program. And I'm sure Coach Garrido believes that they should be a lot better than this. They're 17-11 now. They're 17-11 right now as they get ready to get back into a Big 12 action. And for Nebraska, their most important series of conference play, if you go by all the prognostications, Maryland was picked one, and that's where they head this weekend. It's Easter weekend. So Nebraska's going to be a far long way from home as they get ready to play Maryland this weekend. But you have to hope that, this is great momentum. They've got to be feeling good about themselves. They're not crushing the ball. They're not crushing the ball, but they're getting enough to get it done.
You know, sometimes when it's cold outside, the hitters are a little bit behind, but the weather's been good enough that they could be hitting the ball. But, boy, pitching has dominated, a lot of the area. Even in high school baseball, Grand Island had some games this weekend where they won 1-0 and lost 2-1 in extra innings. So no one seems to be hitting the ball very good right now this part of March.
888-455-ESPN. If you'd like to be a part of the program today, 888-455-3776. You can always fire off to our Twitter address, at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, as always, get us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. How was the weekend for you, Jimmy?
It was all right. I just watched college basketball is mainly what I did, Doug.
Well, I want to look right off the bat here at where we are with the standings in the Doug and Daddy Bud Light Bracket Challenge. And we have Dean from Wood River leading it right now with 104 points. Calls himself Easy Cheese. And he only had... when you're leading, he had six of the top eight in the Elite Eight. There is Disco 1972. That's Mike from Callaway. He kind of took some losses earlier on. He's only 2 points back, but those are when those first rounders snap up and bite you a little bit, because he had seven of the final eight with Villanova in there. But you have got Dean from Wood River, one of the 104 points. You've got Mark from Chester, second with 103 points. You have got Mike from Callaway, third with 102 points. And then you have got a group of people, three different ones at 101 points. Matt from Cozad, Tim from Kearney, and Kurt from Kearney. But those top four, Dean, Mark, Mike, and Matt, all have Kentucky over Duke in the championship. So if that's the way it goes down, that's the way we're going to finish, 1-4. If it's Kentucky and Duke in the finals and Kentucky beats Duke, that's how we're going to have. Now, if you've got Tim or Kurt, they both have Kentucky and Duke in the final, but they have Duke beating Kentucky in the championship game. Anybody else? Well, how about we slide on down to Dirk from Hazard. He is sitting in eighth place, but he has Wisconsin to win the national championship. Kentucky, Duke, Wisconsin. And as far as I scroll down, all the way down to number 30, Oxford Cards.
Has he got Michigan State winning it?
Michigan State.
Yeah. See, that's the hard one. The other three, I'm not trying to disappoint anybody, but if you
got Michigan State over Wisconsin.
Yeah, if you got Kentucky and Duke in the finals, you chalked it out. We talked about that. Normally, if you just take the NCAA's bracket and just put it down, you're probably going to come out all right. You go 1-1-1, 2-2-2, all the way up through. Don't even look at the teams. Just go through. You'd had a little disappointing losses with your 4-13 early. But, boy, if you chalk it right on out, and that's what happened. But, really, somebody that picked, Dirk that has Wisconsin, that's a stretch, because it's real easy to just take Kentucky and then try to figure out what else to do.
You have whooped my butt on this every year.
I don't know if I'll beat you this year.
No.
I'm not going to do it?
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm only tied for 112th.
What place
but I
am
want, I want
in?
You to say, I want you to know that for me, that's probably the best I've ever done in a Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge. I don't remember for sure. I've never on our official sheets of integrity have done that well. But 112th for me, and you are tied for 332nd. Yeah. But when you have SMU, Baylor, and Virginia in the Final Four, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They didn't get it done.
No, they didn't get it done, and 332nd place is well-deserved.
But we wish everybody the best of luck.
Does it go that far down?
What do you get for
332nd?
You better hope you get a little farther down.
Free ice cream cone someplace.
You may get the national champ right, though.
Yeah.
You may have Kentucky.
Yeah, that really makes you feel good.
You can check it out, folks. Our Bud Light Bracket Challenge online at ESPNSuperstation.com. And check out how you're doing. Our champion will be picking up the 49-inch LDHG TV from Russell's Appliance and Electronics. And we also have plenty of gift cards that will be coming away from Cunningham's, upwards of $100 in gift cards, even for those that don't finish in first place. A lot of great gifts, best gifts of any sports show in Nebraska here at the Doug and Daddy Show. And we wish those that are still in contention for the championship the very best of luck. Your thoughts, Jimmy, before we get to Kevin Kugler in the next segment here. He's actually flying back, so we're going to adjust. He's supposed to be down back in back on the ground in Omaha here at this time, but just in case, he's coming up in the next 30 minutes or so. What'd you think? Elite Eight, Final Four games, anything that stuck out to you?
Well, one thing that stuck out is that the coaches have dominated the tournament. I mean, I know they have the best players, but when you look at the coaches that are well-known, they win. Who are you going to take? This team or this team? I don't know. Who's coaching them? You know, because the coaches have dominated more than ever that I can remember a tournament where their players, you know, you look at some of the guys and how many wins they've had and how many times they've been there and go, hey, this is his 13th out of 16 in the Sweet 16, and now he's 14 out of 17. I mean, there was really no huge upsets when it came to coaches with Michigan State winning. I mean, Gonzaga's never been there before, so everybody's kind of looking at Gonzaga. Well, Duke wins. Who's their coach? You know, so that's one thing. Strategic-wise, if you're asking a question about strategy, I found it very interesting that Notre Dame, in their game against Kentucky, late in the game, I did not think they used the clock very wisely. There was a situation where they had 1 second on the shot clock. 1 second left on the shot clock. They had all kinds of time. They were talking about what they were going to do. If that ball was theirs, they knew there was, at the most, there was going to be 1 second if they gave him the ball back. They had all kinds of time to talk about what to do. That would have been a great time to talk about two things. One, what are we going to do if it's not our ball defensively? And what are we going to do if we don't get a shot off defensively? They immediately, what they did, they threw the ball inbounds. The shot clock violation goes off. Kentucky gets the ball before Kentucky inbounds it. Notre Dame calls their final timeout. I thought that was a big mistake that no one has talked about. Strategy-wise, that was not I don't think anybody talked about it. They should have talked about that because that's probably what was going to happen. What was going to happen was with 1 second, you were probably going to be on defense without the ball. Now, I mean, if you get the ball, great. If you get it, then you can call timeout. If you hit the rim and you get a rebound, hey, call timeout and take your last shot and tell everybody what you want to do. You got a tie game. But I thought that was bad because what ended up happening was they ended up having to force a bad three into the corner because they had no timeouts left.
Here's what and boy, there's so many things just in that. First, I want to say that everybody wants to complain about officiating in tournament time. I thought it's been really pretty good. I mean, these guys, in this day and age, even the national analysts are saying, it's so hard to be an official now with the way the game is played. So, that last minute of the Kentucky-Notre Dame game had so much in it. First, that's what I hate about sports sometimes. Notre Dame, they're going to throw it into one kid and one kid only, and it didn't matter. Kentucky had three guys on him. Do you think he passed the ball? Pass the ball and get a 10-footer. It was there. But is it, you know, a fadeaway three where you end up in the stands and the inbounds pass is 1 foot because he's double-teamed and it took him that long to get open. He worked that hard. Not taking that – worked that hard to get open. But you throw a 1 foot inbounds pass where you got to go 90 feet to get a shot away. I hate that about college athletics. I mean, in the pros, they're all good. In high school – who knows? But in college athletics, I hate that. You're not the only guy on the floor. Even if you're the best guy on the floor, you're not that much better than a couple of your teammates. So, okay. But that last instance where they converged and the officials totally got it right. It was out of bounds, off Kentucky. Then they also realized there's a second left on the shot clock. But who knows how the game would have played out. What I didn't understand, and you can go back to the tape and watch it, is that when they inbounded the ball and turned it over, they called shot clock violation. Where, in my opinion, they shouldn't have called shot clock violation. Kentucky would have had a run out for a layup or a dunk to go up. And then Notre Dame would have had 30 seconds left to run a play. And the reason I say that is, you go back to the clock, even with the whistle, and we all know that the whistle's a little bit behind the clock, 0.7 seconds was all that ran off the game clock. So I was a little wondering. I mean, I guess you're in your head, you're going, well, there's the ball got knocked away, there's no way, and you just blow your whistle. But I thought that would have been interesting had they not called shot clock violation because Kentucky stole the basketball. But I don't know how closely you watched it, Jimmy, and this is, I watched the whole game, thought it was a great game, but I finally figured out one of the reasons Kentucky does well with all those big guys, and one of the reasons that they have got to clean up the college game. Every time, I mean, and it slips my mind, the stud from Notre Dame that got 25 points, number 30, I'll check that out, that was playing defense inside, got into foul trouble. But go back and look at the tape. Go back and watch the replays. Every time Kentucky got the ball on the post, just because they're bigger, they can back in, do all they want. But every time they went up, Jimmy, they used the off elbow to shove the defender right in the gut, blatant, and go up with the little jump hook. They weren't shooting it two hands. And I'm wondering, as an official, just your opinion on that. Because, you know, if you elbow a guy out at the top of the key, you're going to see it and get called for the foul. They did it all the time. And I guess to me, whether it's Kentucky or anybody else, that's one of the things that if you're going to make college basketball better, you got to clean up. I mean, you're pushing off every single time.
Yeah, I think that's something you look at. And in the NBA, they really do a pretty good job of making sure a guy doesn't get to shove off and get a shot open. They do a better job of that probably than we do in the NCAA. You know, there's so many things to look at, you know, that in a game when you're officiating. I mean, just I know when I was doing the Danger game the other day, I thought, wow, this is really difficult to referee because there are so many things that I'm supposed to be watching right now. I mean, I'm supposed to be getting this receiver, but, you know, it's at the same time there's something going on away from the ball, and there's just so many things to look at. So I guess I didn't think it was as bad as you said it was. You know, I'm going to say that it's not as bad as you said it was, that it was every single time down the floor that, you know, there was something going on. But Kentucky definitely was getting an advantage. And I kind of felt Michigan State did the same thing to Louisville. When Louisville took the ball inside, Michigan State says, hey, no one's going to score today. We're just going to keep fouling and fouling them. We've got enough guys on the bench. We got another 6'9 guy, and we'll bring in another 6'9 guy. And hey, if he fouls out, we're going to bring in another one, but you're not going to score in the second half. Because it was very obvious that Michigan State was not going to let Louisville get the ball inside. Every time they did, they just fouled them before the ball even entered. If you watch that, and both teams were in the 1-1 with like 12 minutes to go in the second half. So, yeah, interesting.
So, see, there must be something about Michigan State's defense, because I sit here and I watch them in the tournament and I go, shouldn't have won that game. Shouldn't have won that game. Shouldn't have won that game. And they keep winning. And I know it's Michigan State magic, but at some point you just go, man, they're getting by the skin of their teeth here. And that was the case yesterday. Louisville shot 18% in the second half in overtime. And still, the game goes to overtime. It's a two-point game with 30 seconds to go in overtime.
Yeah, Michigan State shot the three really well, I thought. They had a couple big-time threes. And Louisville, all year long, is not a very good shooting team. Boy, they proved it. They proved it in the second half.
A couple of the other games, I thought Wisconsin-Arizona was very entertaining. You put points on the board. Both teams played well, made some incredible shots, very entertaining. And Duke beat Gonzaga. You know, I kind of here's what I'll say about all this. I think Notre Dame and Arizona are better than Duke. At least they have been in the tournament. So I think Duke and Gonzaga got lucky that they were paired up in the South region. And then the East was what it was. But this side with the Midwest and the West, where you're going to have Kentucky and Wisconsin, and we said it before the tournament started, and it's played out that way, immensely tougher than the other side.
You expect, and you, I don't even think you mentioned Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
They're on that side of the bracket. So, yeah, I really felt that, and did from the get-go that one side of the bracket was quite a bit better. And so did Las Vegas. I mean, once they got down to the Sweet 16, you should see, I've got a sheet, I'll bring it, and let's look at it next Friday, how many teams on the left side of the bracket were short compared to the people on the right side of the bracket, because it was amazing, the odds on the left side compared to the odds on the right side.
Let's do our Midtown Mark Cooler question, and then Kevin Kugler will join us here on ESPN Radio from Westwood One to talk about everything that's been going on and the teams that he's seen and what he thinks about the NCAA basketball tournament. So here we go. Changes starting to be made in college basketball. We asked you over the weekend which basketball player has the best chance of winning the Naismith Player of the Year Award, and a lot of guys got votes. 42% took Kaminsky of Wisconsin, 33% took Okafor of Duke, 17% took Hollis Jefferson of Arizona. I crossed him off the list after watching the Arizona-Wisconsin game. I hate to say it, I thought he could be a little bit tougher, given a little more effort. Also, you saw Aaron Harrison of Kentucky. He picked up one vote as well. Well, it looks like Greg Marshall going to step down at Wichita State to take the head coaching job at Texas. You think that's a good move for him?
Yeah, I think it probably is. Were you surprised that they dismissed the Texas coach? Were you surprised with that move, Doug? Or after you think about it, you know, Barnes from Texas I'm talking about.
Well, it sounds like the way it went down, but that was a jumbled mess. You know, we're getting to the point now where, kind of like the Bo thing, you know what? It's not working for you. It's not exactly working for me. I think Coach Barnes would have liked to stay there, but who knows? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll take a break. Be back with more right after this.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies develop today as we head our way up to about 77 for a high. Winds will also stay to the south at about 5 to 15 with some higher gusts at times today. With mainly clear skies tonight, we'll head down to 40. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 59.
A lot of places say there is Sports Bar and Grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. One of the reasons they're flame-broiled buffalo wings. You can get them anytime. It's Monday night. Go in and enjoy your favorite sporting event. And, of course, pick up the Coupe Koozie. Buy it for $5. You can put any 12-ounce frosty one in your Coupe Koozie for just $1 all night long. Enjoy your favorite sporting events. And, of course, anytime, grab something off the menu. On Monday, it's the steak sandwich and a side for only $7.49. Lunch from 11 to 4. And whether you want burgers, pizza, steak, maybe a little fish or just an appetizer, salad, it's all there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill in Kearney. Well, I know he's been eating good food, but I've never seen anybody drink as much tea in one setting as Kevin Kugler from Westwood One, who joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Coug, welcome home.
It's good to be home, and you're right. Last week was a heavy tea consumption week. You will be surprised to know I only had one cup this weekend. Well, so it was. I've allowed the tea growers a little break. They'll have to ramp it up again for the Final Four.
You feeling better? Because anybody in the broadcasting industry can always use tips. You know, I was sucking on the lemon drops and trying to do that whole thing during state tournament time, and it sort of worked.
You know how it is. I mean, last week I'm starting my 4-game Friday, and about 4 days before that, I lose my voice and. That's panic time for anybody who broadcasts for a living, because if you don't show up to do the games, nobody's writing me a check just out of the goodness of their heart. So I got kids who wear clothes and eat food, and they needed both, so I had to figure out a way to get the voice back. And lots of throat coat tea, lots and lots of lozenges, and lots of hands clasped, asking for a little divine intervention. Got all of that and able to save the voice. So that was... It was fortunate, got through it, and now back to normal.
Well, they had an interesting story this morning. Marv Albert had to step aside over the weekend because of an illness, and they had to I don't even know who they brought in. I heard the story, but I forget who the name was. That ever happened
Brian
to you?
Brian Anderson.
Yeah, yeah. That ever happened to you?
No, I've never, knock on wood. I have no wood in this car, but I would knock on it if I did. I need a wood panel station wagon. No, I did not. I've not lost a game yet. I've muddled through a couple of games in my career where I probably shouldn't have been muddling through the games, but I got through them and was better the next week. So it's everybody's greatest fear. It happens to all of us. You know, Joe Buck had that battle for about a year. This is now 2 years ago, where he got a virus in his voice box and they could not get rid of this thing. It would not run its course. It made his voice... He didn't lose his voice. It was just a lot weaker for about a year, and a very scary thing for any broadcaster. It's like a musician whose instrument breaks a string and you have nothing to restring it. It's very difficult to play if you don't have your instrument, and it's very difficult to broadcast if you don't have your broadcasting instrument, your voice. And that's always a fear of any of us, whether we're doing sports talk, whether we're doing play-by-play, whether we're doing whatever. It's always a fear for any of us that we lose that voice.
Kevin Kugler with us from Westwood One. Of course, we've known him for a long time on Sportsmanlike Conduct and Big Ten Network, and a long resume that we can't get to here. But we do want to talk about basketball. As we said, you were in Omaha, then you went down and saw some good basketball this weekend. Let's start with what you saw yesterday, your impressions.
Well, Duke is a much better defensive team than they were when I saw them earlier in the year. I did their Duke-North Carolina game, and it's hard to take anything from the Duke-North Carolina game because it's such a great rivalry, and the game is just a different kind of game. It's a pace game, and everybody was running, and that was a fun game. That was in February, but this team has figured out how to defend over the last month of the season. They're averaging, allowing only 54 points per game during the course of the NCAA tournament. And the team they shut down yesterday, that's a really, really good basketball team. Gonzaga, people are going to dismiss that, I would guess, as the week goes on. They shouldn't, because Gonzaga is really good. That's a Final Four caliber team. And Duke completely shut their guards down. I mean, just didn't allow them a chance to breathe. And once the bigs got into foul trouble, there wasn't a whole lot Gonzaga was going to be able to do. Kyle Wiltshire missing that layup that would have tied the game at 53 was such a giant play in this game, because it just allowed the momentum to completely swing again towards Duke, and Duke took advantage of it like good teams do. I was so impressed with what the Blue Devils were able to do in that game, and I think they're going to be a very difficult out in Indianapolis for this Final Four, which is just such a tremendous lineup in Indianapolis. I can't believe how lucky we are this year with these four teams.
Yeah, Kevin, I was talking to Doug earlier about the coaches this year. You're looking at a game and you're going, hey, I don't know who's going to win this game, but it seems like the coaches with the experience have really dominated what's happened this year. Your thoughts?
Well, it's been a coaching game for a while, it would seem, because they're certainly the stars of the college game, the coaches. They're the ones who stick around, obviously, so we know them better. But I would agree with you. I think these coaches this year have had bigger impacts, and I don't know if it's because we have so much youth in the game or if it's just that these coaches are so much better now. I don't know, but the four we have left in the NCAA tournament are four of the all-time best, and I know people will take shots at Calipari, and they should not, because I think he's a tremendous coach, and part of coaching is recruiting, and he's brought in unbelievable talent, and he's convinced all these kids to stay and take lesser roles for the good of the team. And there's something about the last 2 minutes of a game. You know, I had a coach tell me one time that the biggest impact that any coach can have is in the final 2 minutes of a game. A lot of your stuff is done, as you know, before you get onto the court or onto the field in preparation leading up to that game. But the final 2 minutes are where coaches can have a big impact. And if that's the case, then that says a lot for John Calipari as a coach, because close games this year have been very good to the Kentucky Wildcats. And while people don't tend to put him in the lineup of coaches like Izzo and Coach K and even Bo Ryan for the success that they've had as X's and O's guys, I think you have to give some love to John Calipari as well for being able to get it done down the stretch, because this team consistently figures out ways to win close games.
Kevin Kugler joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They've been talking about it since the Field of 68 came out, which team would match up and give Kentucky the most problems. So they've got Wisconsin and then Michigan State or Duke. Which one of these would give them the most problems?
I love the matchup with Wisconsin for both teams. I've been looking forward to this game since last year, because I thought it was a tremendous game a year ago when these two teams played. And the one thing that I think Wisconsin has going in their favor is they are not going to be awed by the aura. In other words, having Kentucky roll in with a 38-0 glossy record, and this is not going to be something that all of a sudden Wisconsin goes, oh my goodness, what do we do? What do we do? They have been focused on beating this Kentucky team for a year. We talked to Frank Kaminsky a week ago in Omaha, and he's not even watched that tape yet. He refuses to watch the game from a year ago because it's just stuck in their craw. He can't get over it. Well, now he gets the chance to finally get over that game and beat Kentucky. So they're not going to be awed by what Kentucky brings, whether it's fans or talent. They also have the size and ability to be able to match up with Kentucky. And they have a great coach in Bo Ryan who's got a week to devise something to try to slow down the talent of Kentucky. I anticipate that being a fabulous game. And I think of the teams in the Final Four, I'd put Wisconsin as team number one with the best matchup against Kentucky. And I'd put Duke right there at number two, the way they're defending right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. What Doug and I were talking about this, the NCAA, you know, with their number one seeds this year and who they had going, which direction and whatever, it looked to me like Duke's bracket was so much easier than Kentucky's. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was. Now, I will say this. Gonzaga is a better team than people want to give credit for, because they played in the West Coast Conference and not a lot of people saw them at their peak over the course of the season. They're really talented. They're really deep. Their bigs are as good as any bigs in college basketball right now. And their point guard, Kevin Pangos, did not have a great region in Houston this past weekend, but he's a terrific player and a great leader for that team. So they had, I think, one of the tougher two seeds to deal with of all of the ones. But I would agree that at times their path seemed a lot easier than some to get where they are to the Final Four. But they did defend, and they took that defense with them wherever they went. They defended everywhere they went. And talking with Coach K yesterday, he almost was in tears in our postgame conversation with him, because this team, he said this ranks right up there as one of his favorite teams ever to coach. He absolutely loves these kids. And you're talking 35 years of being a head coach at Duke, And this team, the little team that was 4-3 at one point in the ACC season, this team is the one that ranks right up there among his very favorites. And I think even with an easier path, they did exactly what they're supposed to do. They took advantage of that easy path, especially early. And then when they got into a matchup with Utah and a matchup with Gonzaga, they took advantage and they took care of those teams the way they should have.
Kevin, I would feel so bad for Kentucky if they don't finish it off, because to come this far and then to trip up, I mean, this isn't like UNLV who won a title and then tripped up. I would feel so bad if these guys tripped up, yet so many people are rooting against them. Just as a fan of sports, your thoughts on as you watch Kentucky?
I will say this. I was not unhappy that they won that game against Notre Dame, because I think the story is spectacular. One of the things anybody roots for who does this is great stories. You know, I don't have a rooting interest between Kentucky and Wisconsin. Whoever wins, tip of the cap, I just want a great game. And I want great stories. And I think we have great stories in this Final Four. But there's none bigger than a team trying to go 40-0. I don't care how many All-Americans you have. I don't care how much talent you have, how many great coaches you have. You play every single night with a target on your back if you're Kentucky or Duke or one of these blue blood programs. And every single night somebody comes out and goes, I'm going to be the team that beats that team. To be able to do that 38 times and fight through all kinds of adversity, fight through games where you're not particularly interested because you know you're better than that team. I mean, we are still talking freshmen and sophomores in college here who have attention spans that can wax and wane a little bit. To me, what they've been able to piece together is a remarkable sports story. You don't have to celebrate Kentucky, but I do think you have to acknowledge as a sports fan, whoever you are, that what we're witnessing here is nothing short of remarkable. If we see a 40-0 college basketball team, that's staggeringly good. That's 72-10-esque from the Chicago Bulls from several years ago when we all acknowledged that was one of the greatest basketball teams to ever live. This is 72-10-esque. This is Dream Team 92-esque. This is something.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, I don't have anything in front of me, so I'm just doing this by memory. But I think maybe 10 times we've had somebody go to the Final Four that's been undefeated. But a lot of them have lost in the Final Four. They didn't even lose in the final game. A lot of them lost in the Final Four. And for some reason, I'm thinking like Memphis and maybe DePaul. So, I know Indiana won it, of course. Can you think of somebody else that just missed getting this thing, and you thought, hey, that's still the best team? Because Kentucky's coach, I thought, did a great job of explaining this to people. Hey, he said, we're not perfect. We're undefeated.
And I think that's a distinction I think you have to make, because they're not perfect. This is not a team without flaws. This is not Dream Team 92 from that standpoint, because that team was as perfect a sports team as has ever been assembled at any sport. And I don't care how many games that team played, they weren't going to lose a basketball game unless all of their players got sick, injured, or were decapitated at some point. Then probably they don't win, although I'm not so sure that a decapitated 1992 Dream Team couldn't still beat most of the teams they played that year. Obviously, I'm kidding. They would have maybe lost a game or two. But the notion that this team is a perfect team is not at all the case, and I agree with Coach when he says that. They're a flawed team. They can be beaten. If Wisconsin beats them, it is not the greatest upset in the history of collegiate sports. It's an upset only because they're the number one team and they're 38-0, but it's not a staggering upset. Wisconsin's the number one seed. Wisconsin right now is probably the second best team in college basketball. If the second best team beats the best team, to me, that's not going to be an overwhelming upset.
Well, I think the perception is, whether it happens or not, is that the Wisconsin-Kentucky game is for the national title and the winner will beat the Duke-Michigan State winner. But that's why we play the game. There are upsets in the finals. Last minute here with Kevin Kugler of Westwood One and the Big Ten Network. Cougs, maybe it's just because when you fill out your bracket, you're rooting for one team over another. I thought Michigan State really got overhyped early just because they continue to do things in the tournament. And I don't think they've played great basketball in the tournament, but it's something about their defense. Virginia didn't shoot well, and obviously in the second half, Louisville didn't shoot well. I thought the Oklahoma game was their best, and I know you probably haven't seen as much of them in the tournament as some of the other teams, but how are they getting it done, and what can they do to beat Duke and avenge the earlier season loss?
Well, they need to defend, and that's one thing that they've been able to do down the stretch to this season. You know, there were moments this year, Texas Southern being one of them, where you looked at Michigan State and wondered what the world was wrong with this team. But now you look at them and you're trying to figure out exactly what's right. They're healthy. That helps. And they were banged up for a good portion of the season. They do have good balance, and I like what Travis Trice has been able to do from the outside. Brandon Dawson and Denzel Valentine are such versatile players. They can do so many different things. But they have to defend because the team they're playing on Saturday night is going to defend. And they're going to defend the heck out of the ball, and that's Duke. And so you have to wonder, how much is Trice going to be able to get done, because Duke's guards have blanketed guards across the country throughout the course of this NCAA tournament. To me, the matchup is, can Michigan State get stuff done inside? Schilling and Costello on the interior have been a nice two-headed monster in the post, but they're going against the guy in Jahlil Okafor, who is a real classic, traditional, old-school kind of basketball center. You know, he's a guy who has studied the greats, because he is not a European center. He's not a center who's, oh, I'm going to play from 20 feet on in. He's a back to the basket. I want to find a bunch of post moves. That's why he studies the tape of Hakeem Olajuwon, because he wants to develop the dream shake. He wants to develop an array of post moves. What Michigan State's going to be able to do on both ends inside, to me, is going to be the difference in that game.
And, Kevin, obviously, coaching moves. Rick Barnes out at Texas. Greg Marshall's name will continue to be mentioned at a variety of spots here. Is he going to be a Mark Few and stay at Wichita State, or do you think he bolts for one of these jobs?
If Texas comes calling, I think you have to really pay attention, because that's a very good job with an array of resources that he doesn't have at Wichita State. That's a big-time job. And if Texas comes calling, I think Greg Marshall listens to that call. I don't think he listens to too many others as of yet. I think he's got a pretty good job at Wichita State. And I think he looks at his situation and sees that next year could still be a pretty good season at Wichita State. So it's not like he's getting out before things go into a significant decline. I think you have to be careful about staying in one place, especially a mid-major place, too long. So if Texas comes calling, don't be surprised to see Greg Marshall answer that call. But if it's somebody else, I think you have to hesitate a little bit if you're Coach Marshall.
Kevin, the floor is yours. Anything we didn't touch on the tournament that maybe got overlooked?
You know, I think people will really enjoy this Final Four. I know I'm excited about it. I think Michigan State is fun to watch. I think watching Coach K and Coach Izzo go head-to-head, you're going to see two coaches who have really evolved and some would say softened a little bit over the years, and not to the detriment of their coaching ability, obviously, but they've just become a different kind of basketball coach. Obviously, both very successful, and I think the chance to watch Kentucky-Wisconsin is going to be outstanding, but watching those two legends, Coach K and Coach Izzo, lock horns in a Final Four setting. Man, and that's the undercard. I'm so excited for Saturday night.
Last question, because this is Overreaction Monday, are you going to be calling Husker games at the College World Series?
I don't know, but that would be kind of cool. What a great weekend. Honestly, what a great start for the Big Ten Conference in baseball. This is a conference that's been sort of the redheaded stepchild, so to speak. No offense to any redheaded stepchildren out there. But this has been the conference that really the conference didn't care a whole lot about baseball for a lot of years, and the college baseball world didn't pay a lot of attention to it. This league is pretty strong this year. Iowa's off to a tremendous start. They swept Indiana this weekend. You've got Nebraska sweeping Texas. I think Darren Erstad obviously has his best team since he's been head coach at Nebraska. Now it's just a matter of maintaining it after the first 28 games have gone so well. But Huskers back in the top 20, looking awfully good. And if they pitch like they did this weekend, I wouldn't rule out anything for this Nebraska team. Give me those three pitchers in a super regional setting, and I'll take my chances.
Len Elmore, Chris Weber, and the man that was sitting on the booster stool, Kevin Kugler, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Cougs, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for giving us the time, as always.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care, bud. Kevin Kugler, Westwood One. You hear him right here, and you see him doing a variety of all sports. He's done a great job on Nebraska. Boy, done good. So there you go. By the way, Jimmy, both Duke and Kentucky are five-point favorites on Saturday.
Is that what it is? Both of them are five? That's about what I thought it might be, Doug. That's interesting that it is. I was interested with Kevin. He was kind of thought Gonzaga's got a good college basketball team. And I'm going to have to agree with him now. I look back at that, and I think just the way they played against Duke and the way Duke dominated the game, I was disappointed in that game because the other ones were so exciting. You know, Louisville's game went down to the wire, and Wisconsin's game actually was a pretty good basketball game, you know. And the weekend was so exciting that I guess Gonzaga just disappointed me in the way they played against Duke. And I thought they had, you know, their matchup with UCLA was, you know.
And you feel bad for Gonzaga's big man, the Uber driver, who missed an uncontested point-blank putback that would have tied the game at 53, and they never scored another bucket. They got outscored 13-1 down the stretch. And let's face it, of all the teams that Gonzaga could have played this deep in the tournament, this was their chance to make their first Final Four. Gonzaga also had a pretty good road with Iowa State getting upset. Iowa should have played them better, but didn't. UCLA, they handled pretty good there, and then couldn't quite finish it against Duke. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, coming to the end of March, so make sure and get in to take care of all those March specials. And you know it's truck month out there for Midway Chevrolet. You know there's some great deals on some of the small cars to get you around. How about checking out the 2015 Dodge Dart? Lease a Dart SXT for only $159 per month for 36 months. $24.99 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax, title, and licensing fees separate. Or you can finance the same vehicle 2.4% for 84 months. And they have cleared out. They've got a few left of that 2014 inventory. Check out the great deals as well. Whether it's new or pre-owned, they'll take care of you. Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or thinkmidway.com. We'll be right back.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. TNL Irrigation ready to get. I'm looking out there, Jimmy, as we're traveling around this weekend. There's a few of the fields are already worked up, getting ready for planting season.
Yeah, we've had good weather, Doug. I don't know if you noticed this since about March 1st.
It blew some dirt around.
Yes, it did.
I don't know if I'd have dissed up the field quite yet.
Yeah, well, anybody who's disc, it was definitely going to throw it on somebody else's land there.
We might have to use the TNL before we plant.
That's right.
That doesn't happen very often. Folks, the 2015 irrigation season is here, so find out why you need to have the best in your field. TNL's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. Contact your TNL dealer or go online to TLIRR.com, taking care of our area and, of course, in every state in the country and more than 60 countries worldwide. TNL superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of their hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons you need a TNL in your field. They're like no other. Check them out today, your local TNL dealer or TLIRR.com. Well, coming up a week from Saturday, which is April 11th, it is the 10th annual Class Act, which is a big benefit to help Kearney High School, and it will be held at the Eunice Conference Center. And we welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show. I can't believe it's 10 years, Jimmy. I just said that off air. But Tasha Weiss is with us, Brian Thompson. They apparently, Tasha, I know, puts a lot of work in. What do you do, Brian?
I'm just here for window dressing. So.
Well, thanks for coming in. And Tasha, we were joking, man. 9 years in the book. We're getting ready for year number 10 here. It seems like it's flown by, and obviously it's definitely helped the students and administration classes up at Kearney High.
Yes, it has. We're very excited about the 10th year. Lots of exciting live items, silent auction items, raffles, you name it.
Anything new for year 10? Anything special for year 10?
Yes, Midway Auto Dealerships donated a 2008 Pontiac Soltis
convertible, and we have those tickets on sale currently. They're $50 a piece, and only 300 are going to be sold.
Have to get ours, get ready to cruise around for the summer, Jimmy. Let's talk about what we're doing and why this was so important for Kearney High. Brian, kind of fill us in on where some of the money goes and where it's went, what we still need to get done.
Well, you know, it's not just a Kearney High School fundraiser. This money goes to all the schools throughout Kearney Public Schools. Teachers apply for grants, and us as a group, we sit down and fund those items, whether it be for academics, technology, drug and alcohol education. So it goes to a number of things, along with a lump sum disbursement to all the schools.
Tasha, what's one of the things or a couple of the things that just, let's say, if it wasn't for Class Act, Kearney High would be a little bit behind in, or we would have had to find resources elsewhere?
Definitely in the technology department. The kids are utilizing tablets in almost all of the classes starting in kindergarten, and we've been able to help fund a majority of those for the teachers to use and to enhance the kids' learning with the technology, and they love it. That's what they're used to.
Jimmy, obviously you're in a position where your kids have done the Kearney High deal, so you've kind of seen this a little firsthand.
Yeah, and being an ex-high school principal for 17 years, I really appreciate this because there are so many students that we have that teachers just can recognize and go, hey, we need backpacks, we need whatever we can get. And you know, when you go in for a grant and you go in and say, hey, this is what I need, and this committee can get there and decide, hey, yeah, that sounds like something we would like to donate our money to. It sounds like to me that you've got some money and some funds, and you're going to look at every different school and elementary and high school and what their needs are and whatever that is, they want teachers to go ahead and at least sign up and say, hey, all you can say is, no, we're going to give the money to someplace else, but next year we might have that money for you.
Yeah, unfortunately, this year we did have two big items that we were unable to give money towards, but they will be at the event that you can support. It's our Fund-A-Wish items, and it is a pottery kiln for the art department at Kearney High School and also a travel trailer for the, is it theater group?
Yes.
Speech and theater group, I believe. So.
Yeah, I bought a kiln one time about maybe 10 years ago, and those are like, 10 years ago, they're like $1,700 to $2,000, so I'm sure they've gone up. But something for pottery classes that you definitely need if you're going to get involved in that and get involved in the pottery, and you have to have the kiln. Yeah, I mean, you just can't, that's something you've got to have, and it's an item, like you say, it's very expensive, and you just can't go out and just walk up to your, and hey, I forgot to order this, like paper. I mean, you know, this is something you need to get. So, yeah, that's a great item for the art department.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. We're talking about Kearney Class Act, Saturday, April 11th. Social hours at 6 o'clock with the raffle and silent auction. The dinner and live auction will be at 7:30 at the Eunice Conference Center. Cost is $75 per person, or if you want to make that table of 10, it's $750, and you can put down on the reservations, you know, hey, these are the five couples or however you want to work it to set out there and go see what's going on. Brian, we've always got... some neat items. What do we got on the raffle? What piques our interest here?
Well, there's a little bit for everybody out there. There'll be some golf packages. There's some concerts, stuff like that. You know, there's also a you can buy raffle tickets for we'll set out jars and you can pick, you know, which one you want your raffle ticket to go to. Those are on sale also.
You don't have to be present to win on those raffle items. You can contact our office and purchase those tickets. They are one for $25, five for $100, 12 for $250, 25 for $500. And it's just a really neat way for you to get involved if you can't attend the event and you want to do a donation. I mean, you can at least try to win something along with your donation.
And how can they contact you guys?
The office phone number is 308-236-7611, or you can always find one of the Class Act Committee members, and we can get you those as well.
Now, are we doing all this on the phones and iPads this year? No, because I know some of the stuff at UNK, they do that. Some of the high school stuff doesn't do that. Makes it so much easier on me. I need the kids to help me out, man.
We tried that a couple years ago, and I think people have more fun going up and checking and seeing if their name's up there. One other thing is the 2008 Solstice. It's a convertible. It's a nice little car. We'll be out at the Tri-City Storm game Saturday, so look for us there. This community does such a good job of supporting events like this, and you know, so that's just another outlet to come out and look at the car. I you know, I'm a bigger guy and I fit in it no problem, so you don't have to worry about that. Also, you can find it the Class Act website or Facebook page and get some information on it there also.
Just Class Act on Facebook, is that what we're looking at?
Yes.
Under
Class Act of Kearney.
Cool. Again, it's coming up on Saturday, April the 11th. That's a week here after Easter. We talk about this, and I know this is an interesting question. This question gets brought up a lot, so I'll throw it out there, and I think we've talked about it before. These fundraisers for schools, I think we can all agree, started with private schools trying to raise money for their institutions, and now everybody's getting in on the act, and then they're going real well here. So to the person that says, well, why do they need money? You know, what do you tell those folks?
Well, although your tax dollars do go to support the public school system, there has been major budget constraints over the last couple of years. And, you know, just by even going to the grocery store, you know how much more your grocery bill is. Well, the same thing rolls over into education, and technology is, you know, very expensive. Safety of the schools is a primary concern at all levels, and that costs additional money that, you know, maybe hasn't been built into the budget when it was set each year. So those funds really go to help the kids in multiple ways. And sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't. And I think that the teachers and administration are very, very thankful for all that the community does to support them and the education of our youth in Kearney.
We're talking with Tasha Weiss and Brian Thompson here on Doug and Daddy about Class Act. Jimmy, we know that Kearney's growing. I mean, there's more kids in the system. That's just one of the things you got to look at right there. There's just more bodies to take care of.
Yeah, yeah, if you don't believe that, look at the parking lot. You know, which I mean, right now you're looking at that and the dilemmas they're having there with the new school and the building and et cetera. But yeah, I'll tell you, the thing that's important is every teacher has a budget, and the budget normally is just enough to get them by with exactly what they did the year before. And this is something that now, if somebody wants to improve and do something like that, this is a good challenge for them to go out and say, hey, what can I do? Well, you know, now, instead of students having to say, hey, if we're going to do this, everybody's got to throw in $30. Well, not every kid has $30 to do that. And so this is kind of a program that's going to help that. And it looks to me like it's just a really good idea. Did you have some sponsors or any of that that you wanted to talk about at all and stuff? Give them a little radio hit here.
Yes. Our partnership program started in 2013, and we have several different levels of giving. And it's just an outstanding way to have your business show community support. We have a valedictorian level, and New West Sports and Medicine has stepped up to the plate this year and taken on that title. And we are so thankful for their commitment to Kearney and to the education system. Salutatorian is Heartland Bank, and they have committed to a 3-year level for us. Our honor roll level includes Black Oak Investments, Kearney Clinic, Kearney Regional Medical Center, Wilkins Heinrichs, Stover Architects, and Melissa Stotti and her husband Ryan. These businesses have all set a standard to the community by showing their support not only to Class Act, but to KPS administration, staff, students. And Kearney is just really blessed to have their commitment to education and our youth.
I suppose one thing we should mention, Brian, with the new school being built, that's not where these funds are going.
Not necessarily. There's a budget built in for that, but we as a group have kind of sat down and decided that we are going to do something down there. Just haven't really decided that yet. But you know, we want to contribute down there for sure. We were talking, this stuff just goes above and beyond what these teachers have available to them. So if they see something or think they can, you know, get to these kids a little better, that's more what these funds go to. But we will have some kind of investment down there at the new high school.
Tasha, I know you've been involved with the committee for Class Act here. How do people get involved? Who makes up the committee that puts on this great event?
If you're interested in volunteering, we would definitely take your body, your mind, your soul, your hard work to do any of the feats that, you know, make this this whole entire event possible. You can reach our office at 308-236-7611 or contact one of our great committee members. Those members include Tova Schaefer, Dr. Jordan Cochran, Robin Bennett, Stacy Bavana, Kevin Madsen, Bridget Mahalik, Dr. Don Murray, Renee Scala, Nancy Williams, Brent Upson, and Brian and myself.
All right, folks, it's coming up a week from Saturday. Anything else, Tasha, Brian, that you guys wanted to mention or that we needed to touch on?
There's a lot of work that goes into this, and anybody, you know, if people want to jump in and help out, it's much appreciated.
Did you guys secure, like, 10 Garth Brooks tickets that you want to put on this thing? Because it sounds like nobody can get those.
We missed out on the Garth Brooks.
Well, it's coming up at the Eunice Conference Center. Heck, the meal's worth it right there. Paul and the gang always does a great job. $75 per person and a table of 10, obviously, $7.50. It starts with social hour at 6 and then the dinner and live auction at 7:30. The 10th anniversary of Kearney's Class Act. You can go to their Facebook page at Kearney Class Act or give them a buzz at 236-7611 to help continue to support Kearney High, the students, and the teachers. Tasha, Brian, thanks so much for coming in. Have a great one. Hope everything goes well for you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to take a final break, be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show, and learn about Jimmy Langan's upcoming Easter egg hunt right after this.
All All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my daughter, Laura, who lives with a developmental disability. I've seen her learn, grow, and blossom with the help of Goodwill. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals, and realizing dreams. What we all strive for. What Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
Life is definitely good for Laura.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
At Big O Tires, we give you two ways to save big on your next set of tires. For a limited time, when you buy four Big O brand tires, you'll get your choice. Either save $100 instantly or buy four Big O tires and get a free all-wheel alignment and a five-quart oil change. It's up to you. Here at Big O Tires, we want to earn your business, giving you an instant $100 off or a free alignment and oil change. Tires service straight talk. We're Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you lick the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep going until you hit the spot. Whoa.
I'll take you to the candy shop.
Yeah.
What? I want to taste the what I got.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to spend all you got.
Come on.
Keep going until you hit the spot. Whoa.
You can have it your way.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hope everything's going well for you on this Monday. I want to thank the gang over at Fauna Park. Had a great time yesterday. I know there was a lot of people that went over Saturday for a variety of events, but yesterday we had a family event, and it was awesome. And I want to thank Linda especially over there, and, of course, Steve Anderson. We'll talk with Steve. He'll be back with us when we go to Bandits on Thursday for another Doug and Daddy Show in Grand Island. But they just... You know what? They're good people. You know, they take care of you. They make sure you get from A to B. You got a question, they help you out. They're always smiling over there. I mean, they one of those places that they all seem, even on a Sunday, they just got done with a wacky Saturday, people everywhere. And it's like, hey, I enjoy being here. So thumbs up over to the gang at Fauna Park.
Yeah, I've spent a minute or two over there in my career, unfortunately. I lost $2 one time, and I've always been trying to get it back, Doug.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea, my man. We've been going back and forth here. I need to show you the play here. I came across this over the weekend because I'm always thinking, what would happen if it happened to your school? In Ohio, and I don't know if you folks have seen this, but in social media, about half of you probably have and half of you haven't. A young man goes in. It's the state championship game at one of the highest couple of levels there in Ohio basketball. Makes a nice move, dribbles kind of off the top of the key screen, goes down the middle of the lane, and dunks it. And he's got the momentum behind him, Jimmy. So it's a two-hand jam off the front of the rim, and his feet come up. And then he drops back down, and they give him a technical foul late in the game. It forces overtime, and then they lose in overtime. And I know what your stance is. I know what your stance is, and there are different officials that do different things. It's kind of that don't be part of the game mentality. I can't say if it's right or wrong, and the school and the coach, according to everything I've read, they've handled it with total class. Because you look at the play, and it is just like, and then it's over. There was like that 0.3 of a second where you went, well, don't hang on the rim. Oh, okay, you didn't really. you know. In college, it would have never been thought of again. But in high school, you feel bad if it directly cost a team a state championship. A chance. I mean, it's a mistake. You even if it wasn't a mistake, if it's a mistake, you have no chance to take it back. So I kind of feel bad for that kid.
Yeah, I do too. I like I said, I didn't see it. If it happened the way you said it did, it'd been a nice time to probably not blow into that whistle if you can prevent it, because you don't want to call the might have been dunks that are technical fouls. You want to make sure it's just a big pull up. But again, like I said, I didn't see it. But it looks like you might show it to me here in a second if you get it down.
I'm going to try and find it. Here you go. Here you go, Jimmy.
You got it?
I know you
got to
walk around from your
That's
microphone.
Right, I'll do that.
We're going to pull up. This is good radio right here, folks. We got a couple of other things. Don't forget the Women's Basketball National Championship, but getting down to their Final Four. And I got to find you a better one. You know how it is when you look at the computer. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. So here we go. I'm showing Jimmy what happened in the play. And there it is. What'd you think?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. You got a comment?
Well, the kid went flying in there really hard, and it looked like he was trying to prevent an injury, but he did get up so high that he ended up with his legs going up a little bit, but it definitely wasn't a pull-up where he just taunted the other team, you know. So I think there would have been a really good time maybe to stop. I have no problem with the referee even blowing his whistle and going, whoa, 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 you know, and stop and play, you know, and which is going to give the offense an advantage because, you know, the clock's going to stop, you know, and going, hey, don't do that, don't hang on to that, but you know, he sure didn't taunt anybody. That's what I was looking for. If he taunted another player, if this was all about taunting,
and
you know, that's what I don't like. It's not the dunk; it's the taunt that goes along with it. And I didn't see
that's
that at all.
I
did
felt.
You?
That's how I felt.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought he had enough momentum behind him that yes, the legs kicked up, which in the third quarter of the 15th game of the year, where you're up 25, then yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, then, and yeah. Probably not. But probably, still probably would have never. I'd have never called it anywhere,
to be
honest with you, but yeah.
And this comes from John and Carney. He goes, are you kidding, Doug? Because this is about my Kentucky. He goes, no one calls the right of verticality. Reffing basketball is tough. Hats off to Jimmy for always doing a great job, but he's calling it the right of verticality. Well, John, that's not exactly what I'm talking about. Look at what Kentucky's doing. This isn't a straight up and down deal. What got me in this deal with August from Notre Dame, Zach August from Notre Dame, he was getting called for fouls where he wasn't committing fouls. I mean, you tell your defensive players, hold your ground, keep your hands up. I mean, if he backs you down and you lose balance and he scores, that's where our basketball game is right now. But if you stay there and you're up and he gives you, and he it's not a hook, but he turns into you with his left elbow and goes up with the right hand, or he turns into you with his right forearm and goes up with the left hand, that's an offensive foul in my mind. Now, it's not being called, and I'm not picking on Kentucky because obviously, but Kentucky has mastered it because they used it on the post almost every time against Notre Dame. So that's where I'm going with this.
Well, there were two times in the game. You said it happens all the time. There were two times, Doug, and I'm going to tell you right now, you and I haven't even talked about this before. There were two times where I definitely thought it was an offensive charge in that game. And there were a couple times where I wish they had just let him play through it, and they called fouls on Notre Dame. So I understand kind of where you're coming from, where it seemed like that guy was getting an advantage. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he is tough to guard, though. You know, and this guy's got some moves. He's so quick. And you're trying to move your body around with him. For a post player, he's probably one of the better players. Bill Walton was tough to guard, but, you know, when he played for UCLA, I remember him. He had like, Doug, he had like 40 points in the game, or 46 points. He was like 23 out of 24 from the field.
Yeah.
Bill Walton was in his final. So, I mean, talk about a tough guy. But it was a little different. I mean, he still had a little finesse. It wasn't just completely, I'm taking you over. You know?
Yeah. And again, they're so much bigger that they have to almost create space. Bill Walton didn't have to create as much space. He could do this stuff. He could do, I call it the Kevin McHale move, the up and under, the step around, to keep the pivot foot down. Nebraska volleyball has released their schedule for next year. They will start at home August 28th and 29th with the Nebraska Invitational, Pittsburgh, Tulsa, and Grand Canyon. Then they go to Texas to play against Texas, who was in the national semifinals, and Oregon, top 15 teams. Their Emeritus Players Challenge will be the weekend of September 11th and 12th. They'll play Georgia Tech, South Florida, and UC Davis. And then to start the conference season again, this has to please John Cook. Once again, they'll start the conference season playing Iowa in back-to-back games. September 23rd at Iowa, then hosting Iowa on September 26th. Then the next weekend at Penn State, at Ohio State. As far as those key home games this year for Nebraska volleyball, Penn State at home, the final game of the regular season on Saturday, November the 28th. And that's the big mamma jamma, I would think, of all of their home games this season. Also, the women finish off tonight. Connecticut will play Dayton. Maryland will play Tennessee in the Elite Eight. Last night, Notre Dame and South Carolina advanced on. Damon Day will be in tomorrow. Wow. Lincoln University, they can run. They got good track programs. Their baseball and softball, I don't know how they keep them alive down there. They don't care. They've lost 50 of their last 51 conference games in baseball. And the Lopers had 79 runs and 17 home runs in the four games. And although UNK is playing so well, it's not like this is a top 10 team in the country right now.
You know what was sad about that? I drove up there because it was a nice day, Doug, and I was going to watch some of that baseball. And it was 12-0 so fast that, you know, I left. I very seldom do that, but I just thought, you know, this, I mean, there was NCAA basketball on TV. And, I mean, you know, but, you know, I wanted to, it was a nice day, and it wasn't great. It was windy, you know what I mean? But I thought, you know what, I thought I'd enjoy that. But then, you know, but I watch, love UNK baseball, but, I mean, it's not that I wanted to watch that game, you know. So.
Let's wrap it up with this. Softball team at UNK, also a great weekend. Holly Carnes' team swept the 2013 national champions and the current number 19 team in the country in Central Oklahoma, then split with Northeastern State. They're home for two more series this week. Hastings baseball went 2-2 over the weekend. Softball went 3-1. Nebraska softball went 1-2 against 12th-ranked Minnesota. The Nebraska Danger are now 4-0 on the season after beating Iowa 76-50. They get to make that trip out to the state of Washington this week. And the Tri-City Storm have not lost back-to-back games since January 2nd and 3rd. It happened to Fargo this weekend. Four games left to go. They are at Sioux Falls on Friday, and then they will host Cedar Rapids in the regular season home finale Saturday. But you know the good thing? The last time that the Storm lost two games in a row, they followed it up with a 10-game winning streak.
That's good.
Would get them a little ways into the playoffs if they did that again.
That's good news. Doug, great job by the UNK softball team. That was phenomenal, the way they played against the competition they played. Great job, UNK softball.
And UNO hockey team is in the Frozen Four. That takes some heat off of Trev Alberts. I don't know, but they got help. Rochester Institution beat the overall number one national seed in the first round. That's the first time that's ever happened. Omaha beat Harvard 4-1. Then they won over Rochester 4-0. So they're playing good. They'll play in the national semifinals a week from Thursday in Boston against Providence. And then Boston University plays North Dakota. Congratulations to Johanna Guy Fawn of Central Catholic, Pierce Allman of Grand Island, and Taylor Kissinger of Minden, named to the All-Nebraska teams in basketball by the Omaha World Herald. That's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks to Tasha Weiss, Brian Thompson coming in to talk.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Class at Kevin Kugler of Westwood One for joining us. Damon Day will be in to co-host tomorrow. We've got a lot more as the week progresses and takes us into April. Jimmy, have a good one, man.
I'll see you good Friday.
All right. See you, folks.